Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, different forms of counseling, on today's edition of Return to the Word.
Glad to have you with us here today on Return to the Word. As you know, on Fridays we try to deal with email and letters that come in. And you can write us, by the way, if you have questions. Sometimes you're not able to get in on the air with us and you have questions that you'd like to have discussed. Well, feel free to write those to us. You can write to us at 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, S-H-E-R-I-D-A-N, Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. And write us your question. Try to keep them fairly brief, if you would, because it's just so difficult to go through the amount of email and letters with as small a staff as we have. But we'd love to have your question. You can also write me at pastored@returntotheword.org or pastored@aol.com. And we'll get that email as well and try to go through it. Please don't be offended if we can't get back to every letter. We'd love to be able to do that, but Alden is such a slow typist that we're not able to do that.
And that's becoming more and more true.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things age brings along with it.
Actually, I'm a pretty good typer, but the problem is my sight. Being able to look down there and say, no, that's not how you make that number and all those good things.
You know, we have so many people who write in asking about different types of counseling. And here's a letter that came in regarding theophostic counseling. I'm always a little nervous about new systems of thought. And here in America, of course, there's a new system of psychology born every day. Probably I'm a little bit light on that. It could be several every day. Somebody else comes out with a brand new discovery, brand new finding, and they've got to market it. Well, the same thing is true, unfortunately, in some Christian circles. They want to have their brand of counseling, and they want to set it apart from everyone else's. To some extent, that's true of the title nouthetic counseling. I think the name is unfortunate because it sounds like some brand new form, and it isn't. The term was coined to come along with the idea of nouthetēo in the New Testament, talking about admonition, that is, confronting someone lovingly regarding their sin and drawing them back to the things of God. I prefer to just call it biblical counseling, even though that term is being stolen by some who truly do not take the Word of God seriously. That bothers me as well. And so we'll be discussing some of that, and we do encourage you to write us when you get an opportunity. Well, then here is, I guess we'll just start tackling this right away. There's a lot of information I need to share regarding theophostic counseling. The letter says, I'm involved with a ministry that works with youth at detention centers. The leadership is encouraging all volunteers to attend a seminar by Theophostic Ministries. It does claim to be biblically based. Do you know anything about this type of counseling? So I looked up the website of Theophostic Ministry, and I have some concerns about this. Now, again, it's one of these groups wanting to set itself apart by a new name, Theophostic. Theo, God, Phostic, light. And so they say they're taking this from the words of Jesus, when the Son of Man sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I'm not certain how they get Theophostic out of that, but since it doesn't appear in that particular verse. They say that Theophostic Ministry believes a person's present emotional pain comes from the misinterpretations or lies embedded in their memories, and not from the memories themselves.
Well, I have a concern right there, because any time you begin saying it's embedded in your memories and not anything that's recent, and somewhere it almost sounds a little bit like the whole repressed memory.
Well, that's
idea.
Exactly what it is, because they're saying it's not the memories themselves. You understand? Mm. It's those lies down underneath, we've got to be the experts to help you understand us. Come back to this in a few moments, but briefly, those of you who have to leave us or you're getting something to eat right now, the answer is, do we think Theophostic Ministry is the way to go? In brief, no. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulka. Today we're talking about different forms of counseling.
I want to just explain why I say no when it comes to theophostic counseling. When any group pretends to be able to read your memories and to interpret them and to go beneath your memories, the misinterpretations of your memories, run from that with track shoes. Get as far away from them as you possibly can. They're into the mystical, the occult, and not necessarily in the sense of worshiping demons as such, but I'll tell you, ultimately, that's where it leads. This concerns me so much. It says here, for example, an incest victim feels shame not because she was molested, but because she may believe it was her fault. That's the lie, and that's why she is suffering. Well, I think it goes further than that particular problem. Theophostic ministry recognizes, listen to this, that we can only act as far as we can think. Our behavior is limited to the data stored in our mind.
Ooh.
Does that bother you?
It certainly
does. What would bother you about
that? Well, what it really misses there is the whole nature of man. That sounds strangely familiar to Freud's idea that man is basically born innocent and then somehow he is framed by all the tragedies of this world and also helped by the things that are good. We don't doubt the fact that influence can have a significant part in helping shape us, but that whole idea misses the very nature of man, that we're born in sin. We're wicked from the very beginning, according to Scripture.
That's right. And it says, of course, they're talking about being renewed in your mind, and if they were following that biblically, we wouldn't have a concern about it. But they say this renewal must go beyond the cognitive passing of information from counselor to counselee, as seen in most Christian counseling. Only the Spirit of the living Lord Jesus can set us free from the lies we experientially believe. Well, here's the problem with this. When you discount cognitive information, you're putting it on the mystical plane. In other words, you're saying we can't know the information. You have to feel the information. You have mm-hmm. to allow the Holy Spirit to mystically set you free. Now, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, of course, is the one involved in setting you free, and He is the only one who can set you free, but He does it in cognitive ways. He tells you truth. That's the Word of God. The Bible is full of information that God expects us to absorb cognitively through our mind. God works through the portal of our mind, not primarily through our emotions. I'm not discounting our emotions. I'm telling you, you can't trust your emotions. Of course, God involves the emotions to a point, but we have to go to God's Word and learn what He says about what we're doing, not just some mystical way of finding relief. It says, theophostic principles understand present behavior to be drawn from experiential knowledge, that which we've actually experienced, and not from logical truth. Data mm-hmm. believed as truth, but never realized through experience. In other words, you've got to trust your experience more than you trust data or logical truth.
That's the old Gnostic view.
It really is.
I mean, right down the line.
Theophostic ministry is about renewing the mind at the experiential level of consciousness, mm-hmm. as opposed to the cognitive level. What they're saying is, we're going to get behind your mind here, and we're really going to heal you that way. Theophostic ministry recognizes that every emotional pain in the present has an origin, a source, and beginning. It believes that emotional pain is rooted in this original historical faulty thinking. Therefore, unless the person is able to return to the original memory event where the lie was first embedded, true release of the emotional pain in the present will not occur. Folks, this is just so much gobbledygook to try to tell you you've got to go back and re-experience all of the pain of the past. It's the repressed memory doctrine in spiritual sounding clothes. This is so dangerous, and when they say that they're based on biblical truth, they are either lying outright or they have deceived themselves. I tend to think they've deceived themselves, frankly. They have a long list of information here. What's the biblical basis for it? They go on, and frankly, there is no biblical basis.
And Pastor, you and I know many people have been harmed by this kind of counseling, which as and I think our title today is appropriate: different forms of counseling. And basically, this counseling says to the person who's the counselee, you know what? You've got to have this particular brand of counseling, this particular type of insight, Therefore, if your pastor, your husband, or your wife, or an elder in the church are really trying to help steer you the right way, tell you to go according to God's way, they really don't have the deeper insight. Mm-hmm. That whole kind of condescension is very familiar throughout, unfortunately, even Christian circles today.
It is, and it concerns me because it discounts the Word of God mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, not through some mystical system that someone else has devised, and they try to make it sound biblical by grabbing a verse here or there and misapplying it and saying, see, this is what the Bible says. It doesn't say that at all. Maybe, Alden, one of these days we ought to do a program just on theophostic counseling because mm-hmm. I think it is so bizarre. Here is a letter that came in. Says, regarding the caller complaining about Arminianism, here not too far back we had someone calling in about that, the raise your hand for Jesus brand of God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, unbiblical salvation message, he says, is not the result of Arminianism. The biggest popularizer of that method are Baptists. The old-timers, I mean Calvin, Wesley, Finney, Moody, Spurgeon, all preached commitment, not easy believism. Remember, Wesley was Arminian to the point of publishing the Arminian magazine and had no patience with people who didn't show the fruits of repentance and maintain active fellowship with the Methodist societies. And that's a good point, and I appreciate him bringing that out. Finney, another Arminian, had very high retention rates of active believers long after the revival meetings were held in the towns. The problem to which the caller was referring was unbiblical preaching by both modern-day Arminians and Calvinists who emphasize God's love at the expense of God's holiness. Also, amen to the pride you feel about the workers. Maybe satisfaction would be a more accurate word. They serve as validation of your ministry by their endorsing the work of the church you shepherd. It's a good feeling to actually see the people owning the church's ministry. It's far better indicator of the effectiveness of our ministry than attaboy collections at the back door after service. He's talking about the fall festival.
Right.
We were so, and you know what? I'm still glowing from that. I honestly, having seen all of these volunteers and workers out there just serving the Lord with such smiles on their faces, and we had a chance last night, we were at our Bible study, the TNT class, our life group. And in that group, several of the folks were involved in the fall festival. And Alden, we were talking about what we'd learned through it and the joy of it. It was such a pleasure, once again, to talk with these precious people and to see what God is doing in their life. And this man who wrote to us is a wonderful pastor in the Wisconsin area, I believe, and from a Nazarene church. And I thank him for that congratulations. The fact of the matter is we really are so thankful for our people, and God has blessed us wonderfully.
Amen. And I want to echo my sentiments, too, just not only an appreciation for our people who work so hard here, but just once again to say thank you to all of our praying audience out there who've just lifted up the special needs here at Life Fellowship and the Fall Festival. We give God all the praise for that. Amen. Pastor, here's a real brief letter from one of our northern Colorado listeners. She writes, dear friends, I'm thankful for his care and presence. She's just been recovering from a fall and says, his faithfulness in all situations, and underlines that. Appreciate so much being able to hear Pastor Ed and Alden regularly and for their continuing message of the sufficiency of his word in every situation in our lives. Mm-hmm. The Lord bless you. Oh. And we happen to know this, a dear saint of God, and we thank you so much for that letter.
Amen.
Now, here's another letter. This one, you know, we ask people to write brief letters. Mm-hmm. This person really pulled out all the stops because they asked us several questions, and I mean it's in half a page. And so I want to just start. It says, dear Ed Bulkley, greetings. Here's a number of questions. Number one, home education, or should we put children in an immoral government school? I think they kind of tip the hat as to what they think about.
Yeah. But, have you stopped beating your wife?
Yeah. But I guess I can answer that one in the fact that we think it's really important for, first of all, parents take the primary responsibility, that whether you home educate, whether you put your kids in a Christian school, or whether you have them in a public school, it's a mistake to think that that teacher is going to be the sole individual responsible for the education of your children. Obviously, we have a growing concern what's happening, as she mentions, the immoral government schools, and that's very correct.
Well, and Alden, I'll be honest with our writer there. I would not put my children today in the public schools. I wouldn't. Even though there are some wonderful schools even yet, and there are some good administrators, but they're fewer and further between than they used to be. I would not. I would have them in our school here because we're nearby our Christian school, so I would have our children here. But if we didn't have a school in our church, then I would look for one, or I would homeschool and make it possible for our children to learn that way. There's so much to be said for the homeschooling movement. We're very positive toward it, and also toward Christian schools that are centered out of their church. But would I encourage people to go to the public schools? No, I really wouldn't, not in this day and age. We have other letters when we come back, just some brief ones, some longer ones, some good questions. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Dr. Ed Bulka. Today we're talking about different forms of counseling, and Pastor, this writer asked a number of questions, and the next question is, who runs Hollywood, i.e., do they have any morals?
Well, I don't know who runs Hollywood. Do they have any morals? I suppose you could make an argument that there may be some who do. If you're talking generally across the board, does Hollywood have a moral concern? My answer would be no. They're interested in money. They're interested in promoting immoral ideas, and they delight in doing so. And I think there are very few with any genuine moral concerns. I really think it'd be very difficult for a Christian to be involved in the Hollywood scene. I think it's so corrupting. And the things that they ask actors and actresses to do are so evil that if a Christian were trying to be a light in that industry, I think it'd be very, very difficult. Who's actually behind it? Ultimately, Satan is the answer, because he is the one trying to corrupt the hearts and minds of our nation, and the movie industry is a major part of that.
Mm-hmm. Another question they ask is, should believers vote? And the last question that goes with that, if you're not excited about either candidate, I think this is the question they're asking, should you vote for the lesser of two evils?
Mm.
Two real good questions there.
I believe we as citizens of our nation have an obligation to vote. It's one thing to complain about the leadership of our country. It's another thing to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And here in America, we are blessed with this system to have the opportunity to do something about it. I think we ought to vote our conscience. And if you believe that the last 8 years, though the economy has been wonderful, if you really think that it was caused by the current administration, you need to study economics a bit more. But if you believe that that's the primary issue that we should be concerned about, then I suppose that's the way you're going to vote. If you're concerned about the moral decay, when people say, are you better off 8 years later than you were when we started the current administration, my question would be, in which way? Mm-hmm. Are we better off financially? I suppose some could make that argument. I would ask you, are we better off morally as a nation? And I think most people would immediately say, well, no. Because we of a nation recognize we have immorality. Mm. Some have even said rape at the highest level of government. And our nation has said, we don't really care. As long as the economy is good, we don't care. We don't care if we have violated the laws of the land in perjury. We don't care if there's immorality at the highest levels. I think that's an indictment of America as much as the politicians. We should vote, and if you want 8 more years of the same sort of thing, I suppose, then you'll want to continue the pattern that we've had. If you want to change, then I encourage you to vote some other way. You need to think that through.
And I like the last question, which they answered themselves. It says, does abortion kill children?
Oh, my goodness.
Dash, a big yes. And I really hope people will really consider that issue, if for no other issue alone. People say, well, wait a minute, you're a one-issue candidate, and I'll tell you what. Then you have to ask yourself, if it's not murder, what is it? Mm-hmm. And that's the question I wish people ask. Pastor, here's another letter. It says, Dear Dr. Bulkley and Alden, I just wanted to take a moment to tell you how important you are to me. I listen and return to the Word every day. I belong to a church that stands on the Word of God, so I don't have to rely totally on your show for my personal spiritual input.
Well, I hope
praise
not.
The Lord. Isn't that wonderful to hear that are in a good church? However, I do consider the show to be a vital part of my connection to the rest of the church as the body of Christ. I love the way you discuss the issue, letting people know what is right and wrong from the Word, at the same time maintaining the quiet, self-controlled spirit of Christ. Too often a Bible teacher will beat people over the head with it, which does not accomplish anything. I am the worship leader of the church to which we belong, and I am married and have an 8-month-old baby boy. My wife and I often work different schedules, so as after I get home from work, she is finishing eating supper and getting ready to leave. So I spend my evenings taking care of our son, planning and practicing worship services and trying to relax. In addition, we are getting ready to move to be closer to our church. So as you can see, I live a busy life. Now, don't you appreciate that someone is saying, I want to move closer to their church?
Yes,
that says that's their bigger family,
that's
and
right.
they want to be close to it. Wonderful. The world would probably tell me that I need counseling, first of all, because I'm so dedicated to God. I'm not bragging, just stating the facts. Secondly, counseling on how to deal with stress and pressure. Instead of wasting time and money on that, though, I just try to get close to the Lord because He handles the stress and pressures for me in a way that I never could. I'm only 24 years old, so I know that I've just begun to work, and I'll be doing this for a long time, unless Jesus comes soon, and I think He will. Amen. Sometimes when I look at how much work there is to do and how long it might be before I get to take a break, it exhausts me. So I sit back and think about how worth it is.
Yeah,
I like that. This person has such a positive,
that's right,
biblical perspective. Having my wife home during the day and me at night so our boy never has to go to daycare will be worth it all. We'll be able to keep him away from worldly influence. If only one person at one of our church services is moved and influenced to receive the gift of salvation, it will be worth it. Not to mention the fact that the life of service to Christ is extremely fulfilling to live. What a joy it is to live for and serve Him. Anyway, I just wanted you to know that I love you both and would be sad if you weren't there. I consider you both to be among the greatest of my friends, even though we've never met. Thank you and your staff for being there for this world that needs to hear about Jesus, your brother and fellow servant. And
oh,
my, what
sweet.
A wonderful, gracious letter. And
that is.
There were so many things, Pastor, I don't know about you, that just stood out to me. Here's a person that says, you know, I admit, there's stress, there's pressures. But instead of saying, hey, you know, I need counseling, and our program today has different forms of counseling,
yeah,
he says, you know, I like the counseling of saying I got to depend on God, I got to trust in God, I'm going to move closer to the church,
yeah,
and I'm going to thank God for the fact I have an opportunity of serving Him.
I count it such a privilege and joy to have people like this who consider us their friends, because you mean so much to us, your prayers, your support, and we thank you so much. We know that we cannot minister to you as effectively as your own local church, nor would we ever try to do that. We can't take the place of your personal church and your pastor. But it's a joy to have friends like this across the nation. And you know what I would say to this dear friend? Excuse me. If he were sitting right here with me from listening to his letter. And I readily admit that the economics of our world today may make it very difficult for husband, wife, to have one of them at home all the time. They've tried to arrange their schedule in such a way to be there for their son, and I commend them for that. Could I just give you one word of warning? And that is, guard your marriage for the sake of your son. I don't know what your economic condition is. You're very likely on a limited income as a young fella and serving the Lord. I'm concerned that you and your wife are like passing ships in the night. You know, you have different schedules. You're not together that much. And all I can tell you is watch out. Be very careful. Guard your heart. Stay close to one another. Communicate constantly as best you can. And change your schedules as soon as possible so that one of you could be home or that you can spend more time together. And I'm not, please don't take that as scolding. I'm not trying to scold you. I'm just saying, as a friend, be careful. I would say that to my children.
Sure.
And Alden, the older I get, the more I have people who look to me not as a peer, but as a pair in the sense of French father. Here I am, their elder, and I would say to them, as somebody who cares about you, as I would say to my own children, spend time with your mate.
This probably does raise an important issue. One is the old adage that I think is completely biblical, as you think about it, that partnership comes before parenthood. And we think about this. We got married before we had children, and it's important for us to remember that. The other thing, Pastor, that I've seen, and we talked about the fact, should we put our kids in public education, Christian schools, or homeschooling, I have seen some parents that I thought actually made a mistake, that it required two jobs to put the child in a Christian school at the expense of the parents being able to have time together. I would be concerned about that. I think I think they really ought to ask God to help them find other alternatives than really something that takes away from prime time at home. There's just nothing that we could possibly have as a stronger, I think, a foundation for a family than that family really spends time and quality time together.
And even the issue of people say, well, you know, financially it's impossible for us, the expense of homes now, rentals here in Denver, we really have found out just in the last few years the cost of housing has just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. So we're very sympathetic with young couples. But I guess I would encourage you, think it through carefully, and if there's any way that you can save money by staying at home and by taking care of your child there, you might want to think it through very, very carefully. Well, we have other letters that have come in, and we hope that you'll stay with us, and we hope you'll write us as well. We'll give you the address again in a few moments. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back once again to Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulk. Today we're talking about different forms of counseling. And, Pastor, before we went to break, we talked about a wonderful letter that came in, and here's a husband and wife that are sacrificing for their children, for their family, for their church. And we talked a little bit about the fact of a concern of husband and wife kind of missing each other because of two jobs and
yes.
so forth. I wouldn't want any of my marks to be misconstrued that I'm not 100% behind Christian education, and I know you're the same way. We just would want to be careful that doesn't interfere with other priorities in the family. The other thing I wanted to mention, I know here at our academy, we have some families that find creative ways to be able to put their kids in Christian schools. We have parents that come and help with the cleaning, and some of their costs are deferred that way. And that's my suggestion. If you can find any way that really helps that mom to be on the same track of those kids. And when they come home to a parent if at all possible. It pays such great dividends.
It surely does. We're talking today about different forms of counseling. And one of the things we deal with in our book, Why Christians Can't Trust Psychology, is the very issue of different interpretations of the human heart and mind. We point out that William James, the founder of the first American psychological laboratory, was strongly influenced by the evolutionary principles of Darwin. And he saw human behavior primarily in terms of function. That is, it's an interaction between mind and body. He just sees us basically as protoplasm and electronic signals. Behaviorist John Watson saw human behavior as a response to stimuli. I mean, he wasn't even sure that the mind existed. He wrote, someone wrote about him, an avowed materialist, Watson objected to concepts such as mind, consciousness, volition, emotion, stating that psychology should be the science of directly observable behavior, unquote. B.F. Skinner, another behaviorist, basically said that just like Pavlov worked with the dogs, you can work with human beings, they'll respond to stimuli, they're just higher form of animals. Sigmund Freud, of course, instituted what he called psychoanalysis. He theorized that man is basically under the control of unconscious urges that originate in childhood traumas, the inner conflicts between the id and the ego and a superego. And then you've got Carl Jung and his dream interpretations. You have Eric Fromm. You have Sullivan. You've got so many different. You've got hypnotherapy. You look at the various types of methods, and here in America, there are just literally hundreds upon hundreds. But the fact of the matter is, in Christian counseling, you have a lot of differences, too. Basically, Larry Crabb believes that you can't become mentally and spiritually mature until you dig back into the past and expose unconscious drives and embrace your hurts. Robert Schuller teaches that the Christian can't experience mental health or maturity until he learns to love himself. Dan Allender insists on the need to reclaim submerged memories. Minerth says that one has to deal with his defense mechanisms on the subconscious level. Naramore believes that it's a medical responsibility to determine if someone is mentally ill, and that counseling with the emotionally and mentally ill is of special psychological and psychiatric concern. On and on. I mean, you could talk about the various systems. Some insist that it's all demonic, and that you have to cast out demons if you've got depression, things like that. I mean, there's so many different mm-hmm. systems. What would it be like if we just opened God's Word?
Amen.
If we just kept it simple and said, you know, the basic problem is sin. our sin or the sin of someone else and our reaction to it, but it's basically sin, and we have a choice that God has given to us. Why do we complicate everything and try to make it so difficult? I think one reason is because we want people to think we're the experts and that they have no recourse except to come to us, the experts, and that's foolishness. Go to God's Word. Find a godly person in your church who understands the Word of God and understands how to apply it. And you can see that by the way they live their life. You can see that they know what to do with children by their children. And go to them and sit down with them. You don't need to go to some expert and you have no idea if their children turned out well or not. But you see somebody in your church and you can observe their children and you say, I want my kids to be like that. Go sit down and talk with them. What are the principles you're using? Show us the biblical principles here. That's how you're going to find real help through the Word of God. Here's a letter that came in. It said, I'd like to thank you and the Return to the Word staff for producing a wonderful radio show. I listen as often as I can. I'm glad to hear that you're willing to tell the truth, even though many people may not like it. We need more programs like yours. I'd also like to thank you for having Steve Green on your show. Steve's doing a great service for the Lord in his ministries. He brings great joy to us with his music. I'd like to make a simple request. Would you consider having George Younce from the cathedrals on your show? I think he has a wonderful life story to tell, and many people would enjoy his wonderful testimony. Thank you again for all your hard work. George is one of my favorite singers because I like his. For one thing, he's one of the few basses that can actually sing instead of growl. He actually sings in that deep voice of his, and I also like his attitude toward life.
Well, I was so glad that earlier this week when Steve Green was our guest, and just to hear his emphasis on the Word of God, and we talked about afterwards that unfortunately, I think for many of the Christian artists today, it's kind of a token expression of a strong devotional life, and I didn't get that impression from listening to Steve.
No.
That he not only experiences that himself, but is really trying to encourage that, and not only across the airwaves as he did with us a few days ago, but I believe that's what he really proposed at his concerts as well.
I think so. Alden, here's a letter came in again about different forms of counseling. One of the pastors of my church in St. Joseph, Missouri, recently received information concerning professional training in biblical counseling sponsored by the Christian Civic Foundation under a licensed agreement with the Center for Biblical Counseling, a program of the American Association of Christian Counselors. Boy, now they're franchising it. I don't know why you have to go through all these layers to find out it's the American Association of Christian Counseling. Folks, that's a psychological organization. It is. Are there Christians in it? Of course there are. And do they believe? I mean, we talked with the president of that, Tim Clinton.
We interviewed him on the air.
We interviewed him. It was very clear that our perspective on this is totally different. They believe that psychology has so much to offer, we couldn't disagree more. And I know some of the people on the board of their group, the Center for Biblical Counseling, and they're psychologists. These are, for the most part, these are people who are committed to the integration of psychology with the Bible to form a superior brand, as far as they're concerned, of counseling. I disagree. Nothing that you add to God's Word makes it superior to the Word of God. What condescension and how arrogant that is to suggest that we know better than God. I'll read some more of that letter when we come back and comment a little bit more about this issue of the Center for Biblical Counseling and their training in what they call biblical counseling. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You can order a copy of today's program on cassette or CD by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. And you can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020.
Alden and listeners can also download the program to their computer and play it right there at home anytime you wish. So you don't even have to worry about recording it during the day. You can come back in the evening and get the program, download it, play it whenever you wish, and we try to keep up with that. Forgive us if we don't get it every single day that day on, but we try to as best we can. I do want to say, when I talk about groups such as the American Association of Christian Counselors, I'm uncomfortable because it can be taken by some to say that I'm trying to attack individuals. That's not my my goal or purpose. I'm certainly not suggesting that these individuals don't love the Lord. I have no way of knowing their commitment to Christ, and I'm not trying to say that they don't. What I'm saying is I disagree with their conviction that psychology can add anything to the Bible to make a better system. Now, isn't that fair for me to say that, folks? I don't think I'm being unkind to say that. Some people think I'm being harsh when I say that. There's a man in one of the largest psychological groups in America, Christian Psychological Organization. It's well known, and he has described me as the most unloving man in America. And I'm going, goodness, what did I say that would communicate that? Well, his point, I guess, is that I say that there's a better way than psychology, and that you don't need to rely on drugs to solve your problems. If that's unloving, I guess I am. But that's not my intention, and I hope that you will understand that. And when I say that the American Association of Christian Counselors is just rampant with psychology, I'm not saying that haphazardly. I'm not saying that without having done the research. I know about this group. I've talked with the people involved in it. I've debated some of them on television. And on radio, we've discussed it many times. Now, the person who writes says, when the pastor asked me about this organization and its training, I told him I didn't think he should pursue it, as I did not think it was Bible only, but perhaps Bible plus training. What do you know about this organization? If our church is pursuing biblical counseling, is this organization an appropriate way to pursue it? No, it isn't. I don't know how to word that. I guess I could say it lots off. Well, you know, I really don't think it is. I'm just telling you, you asked me a question, I'm answering you as honestly as I can. No, that's not the way to go. If our church is pursuing biblical counseling, I guess the question is there a better way to go? Yes, there are real organizations that are committed to God's Word that you can receive training from. National Association of Nuthetic Counseling. Again, I don't care for the name Nuthetic, but I do care for the group. It's a wonderful group, and they are committed to the Word of God, and they're doing a wonderful job. You can get information from them on the website, and there's a link at our website of returntotheword.org to get to them. The International Association of Biblical Counselors. We train people, we provide materials, and that's a better way to go. So I would encourage you to seek those groups out. One last question. Have you any advice for my pastor of children's ministry? Well, yes, I do. We have a wonderful children's ministry that we recognize. It's one of the few I am aware of that promotes God's Word without apology, and all of the scripts for this program are based on God's Word. It's called Truth Quest, trying to teach children to find the truth as they search God's Word, even in the earliest ages. That is available also. You can get a demonstration CD. You can order that through our ministry here. You can call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. We'll get that out to you. It's free of charge, that CD. And the program itself, with all the scripts and instructions on costumes and sets and props and all, we had nearly 100 children at Truth Quest this last week. And those kids just love it. They hate missing that. And the parents tell us, you know, my kids just throw a real fuss when they can't come to us. So that's a wonderful program. You can find out about that also from our website or from truthquest.net. You can go there and get a lot of information. Let's see. P.S. God brought Michael Johnston of Caruso Ministries to our church recently. He was such a blessing. God used him not only to exhort and give hope to those with life-dominating sins, but he used Michael to encourage my soul and to validate our biblical counseling ministry. He spoke eloquently, very knowledgeably about the power of God through his word, in addition to why Christians can't trust psychology. I don't know what that means, if he's using that or promoting it or what. God is truly using this young man to point people to Christ and his word. I hope you get the privilege of meeting him if you've not already. Well, I'd love to. His name, again, is Michael Johnston, and I hope there'll come a day where we'll be able to meet.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, here's a letter, and I think it really does fit in with our topic here, different forms of counseling. Dear Pastor Bulkley, and it's a long 4 or 5 pages of information just about a variety of subjects. The one I wanted to kind of key in on, it's toward the end there, and it says, I heard your recent broadcast in which you said you could no longer recommend Moody Bible Institute. Two men in our family graduated from there too, and the present dean of the British Israel Movement and his brother and myself, all three of us went to Wheaton College, surprised. And then, of course, what he says in the rest of the letter is that he, too, has concerns about Moody Bible Institute and, in particular, Wheaton College. And they're really talking about the liberal slide in many ways. And this is what I can say firsthand. And so that listeners don't think, well, hey, we're just out here and just talking off the top of our heads. We went, as an example, when our oldest son, Chad, was looking at colleges, and we came back through Chicago, we took a look at Moody, took a look at Wheaton College, and what I was appalled at in particular at Wheaton is that there you have a, outside the Science Center, to me, very obvious that they were supporters of theistic evolution. Everything I could see said about this institution, that's really where they're headed, is toward theistic evolution. For listeners who don't know what that means, they believe there was, yes, God was the creator of it all, but it was really over a long millions of years of time, theistic
and
evolution.
And used evolutionary process.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have some concerns, and it grieves my heart. This individual says that they've had some members of their family graduate. We've had, I think, somewhere around 18 members of our family graduate. This was a school we went to. Our son will be the first member of our immediate family not to graduate from Moody Bible Institute, and that grieves us as well. But he told me, he said, Dad, I'm so tired of defending God's word here at Moody. And that's why he has gone to the master's college now in California. And he's told me, he says, what a difference, Dad. He says, I'm not the odd man out here. And he says, I don't have to defend the scriptures. He just is loving it. Now, I'm not trying to say that there are no good teachers there at Moody. There are some wonderful teachers there. And I am so thankful there still are. Mm-hmm. There's some wonderfully dedicated people there. And as a general thing, are they still turning out people committed to the Lord Jesus? Yes, they are. And I'm so glad they are. I'm just so concerned. I'm grieved because it's moving away. And that bothers me.
And you have to ask the question, along with our title, is the product then a different form of counseling? And I have to say, to some degree, at both of these institutions, the answer is yes, because they both have clearly said that they believe in taking whatever good we can find in psychology and mixing it with, the pages of Scripture and counseling. And we want to commend anyone who says, yes, we need to use the Bible. It would be unfair for us to suggest that Moody or Wheaton people don't believe in the Bible. That's simply not true. I know many graduates from both institutions, and there's some many fine, dedicated Christians. The real issue here, though, is not the people themselves. The issue is the philosophy of ministry. Do they really believe that God's word is enough? Mm-hmm. Sadly, I think both institutions, I think one's ahead of the other. I think Wheaton went down that road before Moody did, but I think the issue is they're really saying the Bible is not enough in terms of pastoral and lay counseling.
Well, they definitely say it in regard to that. Their theology department at Moody is still quite sound. But when it comes to the counseling department, it is fully integrated with psychology, and they're determined to do so. And they will not even allow biblical counseling to be presented there on campus. So we have offered to bring in world-class speakers who are well-known in the biblical counseling movement at our expense to present this to the students at Moody. We're not permitted to do so. That just grieves my heart. But are they, are these people still, I still love them, Alden. I've got to tell you, and it just, I don't want anyone to think that I'm sitting here saying, I hate this school. I hope it goes down. I don't. I wish there would come a time where they would say, you know what? We need to just come back to the Word of God in all of its simplicity and power and watch God work. They still are very involved in evangelism. I commend them for that. They still are involved in missions. I commend them for that, in trying to draw various races together around the Word of God. I commend them for that. Those are wonderful things. So we have to keep it all in perspective, and we just have to, you know, keep our eyes firmly on the Lord Jesus. This one says, I really need some counsel on forgiveness. I was very close friends with a girl when I was growing up. As we got older, we went our separate ways. Then I became a Christian, and then she did too. She started attending my church, and we haven't been friends since. She's copied my life, which I know to be the sincerest form of flattery, but I don't want flattery, and it's been hard enough for me to find out who I am in Christ. We've talked about it, prayed about it, and ask forgiveness from each other. It's so hard because she's very needy, and she's ended up being the nucleus of our church oftentimes because she's usually in some form of crisis. I've stayed at the church because I haven't felt like the Lord would want me to go anywhere else at this time. Plus, I don't want to run from what God wants to do. But it has been quite a trial, and I do avoid church events because of the reasons stated. What can I do? I want Jesus to be the focus of my life and not just one person's needs. And with that, I'll add that I do care, but I think the focus has been overboard in this situation. You know, what I would say is, and as we run out of time today, is just do this. You know, you need to continue to talk with a person. You need to disciple this person. If she's seeking to know the things of the Lord, use this as an opportunity for the Lord to begin to refine your life through a trial like this and to make you loving and kind. Can I mention, too, that Sunday, those of you who are in the Denver area, we'd love to have you come visit with us. We have our first service at 8 o'clock, the second at 9:15, the third at 10:45, Bible classes for all ages the last 2 hours, and Truth Quest during the third service right here at 115th and Sheridan Boulevard in Westminster.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you each one who's taken the time to write to us this week. And you can order a copy of today's program on cassette, tape, or CD by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. We hope to join us again on Monday at the same time here on Return to the Word. Return to the Word is a ministry of Life Fellowship, a family Bible church, and counseling center.
We hope this tape has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.